Welcome to the C3 Church Watson podcast. Our vision is to connect you to Jesus, grow you as a disciple, and help you serve his purpose. We hope you are blessed by this week's message.
Good morning, everybody. If you've ever caught a train, anyone here caught a train before? Yep.
Especially in London, at every stop, whether you're getting in the train or out of the train, there's this announcement that comes out over the loudspeaker, along with a few other things. It says this. What does it say? Anyone know? Mind the gap. Have you heard that? Mind the gap. And the purpose of the announcement is to make you aware of and be careful of the gap between the platform and the train when you're getting on and off the train. It's a safety announcement. Watch out, there's potential danger ahead. Well, I mean, the gap's about that big, really, but they have to say it, I suppose. And it got me thinking, as I was thinking about this message and what we're talking about today, because today's message is kind of a safety announcement to mind the gap, to be aware of the gap, and to do our best when we experience the gap, because we will. In our relationships, we will experience this gap in the area that we're talking about today. And today we're going to look at some different ways that we can do this. And I'm going to come back to that in just a moment. But I want to tell you that we are in week two of our relationship series, excuse me, called People Skills. Wouldn't it be easy if you could just toggle and you had people skills? Wouldn't that be just so much easier than having to work on it? Today we're looking at expectations. Now, expectations, every relationship has them. Whether you realize that or not, you have expectations. And the thing that I want you to remember today is that expectations must be managed. But my main point is this: healthy relationships manage expectations well. Healthy relationships manage expectations well. Because if you've been alive for more than a few, for a little while, I mean, when you're a baby, yeah, you have unmet expectations, but you don't know. If you've been alive for a while, you will have unmet expectations. Sometimes I fall into the trap, and you may be able to relate, of trying to get from someone else what I can only get from God. Anyone? Maybe from Paul, who's my husband, if you don't know, or from a friendship. And these relationships are treasures in my life. But my identity, my worth, my confidence can only come from God and from who he tells me I am. And when I get these things, or when I try to get these things from someone else, I end up with unmet expectations. And I find myself disappointed and unfulfilled. So we've agreed this morning that we all have had unmet expectations. We know what that's like. You're expecting a certain outcome. Or you're expecting someone to act in a certain way and they don't. And so you feel disappointed. You feel let down. I've been in the situation, maybe you can relate, where I open my heart and I start bearing my heart to somebody and you expect them to care. This is not my husband, by the way. You care. I expect them, you might expect a certain response and you don't get it. You may or may not know this, but there's a story in the Bible of some people who faced the same thing, who found themselves with unmet expectations. And we're going to look at that briefly today. We're going to read a part of this story, and it describes a conversation that Jesus had with two of his followers after the resurrection. He met up with them on, the Bible tells us, the road to Emmaus, and while they were talking to him, they didn't recognize him. They didn't know who he was. They weren't part of the 12, or maybe 11, because Judas wasn't part of the disciples, but they were his followers. One of them's name was Cleopas. We don't know who the other one was. Some scholars think it was his wife, because they invited Jesus back to their home with them. So Luke 24 says this. They were talking to Jesus, and then it comes to this part of this passage. And they said this, "We had hoped he was the Messiah who had come to rescue Israel. This all happened 3 days ago, and then some women from our group of his followers were at his tomb early this morning, and they came back with an amazing report." "We had hoped" is actually translated, "We expected that." We expected. We had expectations, and those expectations weren't met. Can you feel the unmet expectation in the text? I can. Can you relate to how they felt sitting in their unmet expectation? I can. The text shows us that as they were walking and talking together, it says they were feeling, one translation says, sadness was written across their faces. And that's how we feel when our expectations aren't met. So we have to mind the gap. Very often in our relationships, there is a gap between our expectations and our reality. And the gap between those two things is where a lot of relationships suffer. But healthy relationships manage expectations well. Here's the thing about expectations. Just because we have them doesn't mean they're right. Just because we have them, it doesn't mean they actually should be met. In the example I just read, their expectation was actually off. It was just wrong. The way they thought things should play out was just wrong. And sometimes we need to rethink our expectations and manage our expectations, because healthy relationships manage expectations well. Let's look at some different types of expectations. And today I want you to consider this. I want you to consider if there are expectations you currently have that need to be looked at and managed so your relationships can be stronger and happier and healthier. Because don't we all want that? Don't we all want stronger and happier and healthier relationships? I don't think there's anyone in this room today that doesn't want that, that doesn't want to manage their expectations. Managing our expectations will help our relationships to thrive. So, we can have unmet expectations. We can have unspoken expectations. When I started pastoring, back in the dark ages, I ran into quite a few unspoken expectations. I mean, more than I actually even realised at the time. The first one was this: I could help everyone. The second one was this: everyone wanted to be helped. Because they don't. The third one was this: as a pastor, I had to be able to fix everything. The fourth one was this: being a pastor won't impact my friendships and relationships. All of those things were unspoken. I didn't know them, but they were there. So let's look at you. How about you think about this? When you look at your relationships, do you have unmet expectations? Unspoken expectations, sorry. That impacting your relationship. New parents, you have unspoken expectations of you, yourself, and of your spouse, and you will run into them. One spouse thinks it's okay to let the child cry, the other spouse doesn't. What are you going to do with that? When I was growing up, I had a friend who lived about 12 houses down the road, and we'd talk together all day at school, and then we'd come home, and we had these things called phones that were connected to something in the house. And we used to call each other up and then talk on the phone for hours. And if we were on the phone, no one else could be on the phone. And other people could pick up the phone and listen to what you said. I mean, how ridiculous and bizarre is that? But it's easy to take a relationship, a friendship like that, and try and put that into an adult friendship and have all these unspoken expectations of each other. How we are raised creates expectations that we aren't always aware of. In my household, my mother did this and my father did that. And so you go into a marriage and you think, well, that's how it works. Doesn't necessarily. Sometimes in our relationships, we will feel unsettled, annoyed, disappointed, angry. Why? Maybe it's because we have unmet expectations. The plot thickens, though, with unspoken expectations. Because with unspoken expectations, the other person in the relationship doesn't even know about them. Anyone? They are unspoken, so they can't be met. Or if they are, it's by total accident. Maybe you expect them to read your mind. I know that in a long time ago, in the beginning of our marriage, I expected Paul to be able to read my mind. I mean, why wouldn't he be able to? Without knowing what your expectations are, the other person in the relationship will not be able to meet them. They need to know. I remember talking to a work colleague. I mean, I was the boss, but they were a work colleague years ago. And I had to say to them, because I was getting really antsy about it, and I had to say to them, do you know, when I send you an email, I actually expect that you'll respond to it. And they went, oh, okay. You would think that would be normal, but no. I had a chat with someone at work this week, and I said, I think I've been expecting that you would know this by osmosis, but let me just communicate with this to you clearly. And they went, oh, okay, great, that's great. It's really easy to fall into the trap of thinking that people know. So if you're having your expectations unmet, a good question to ask yourself is, have I communicated it? Do they know about it? And if they don't, maybe chat with them. But maybe there's another problem. Maybe your expectation is unrealistic. One of the dangers, I think, in a world where we are encouraged to go harder, to break through every barrier, the world is your oyster, you can do it all, you can have it all. I found myself with unrealistic expectations of what I could do, what I should be doing, and unreal expectations of what I should be given. My world should forever be expanding, should it? Of what I should get. It was so self-centered. Children these days, gosh, as parents, we need to teach them that the world doesn't revolve around them. Because when they grow up and get into the big world, they could have these unrealistic expectations about what the world is like. If Thankfully, there's an example in the Gospels. We're going to look at it. Mark 10 says this. James and John, the two sons of Zebedee, came up to Jesus saying to him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." Everyone say, unrealistic expectations. Can you believe that? "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." And they said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" They said to him, "Grant us that we may sit, one on your right, one on your left in your glory." Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink that cup that I drink, or to be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized?" They said to him, "We are able." And Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink, you will drink. You'll be baptized with the baptism with which I'm baptized." Then it goes on. So my first thought when I read that passage was, my gosh, how old are these two? It's like, I just want you to do whatever I want. And my second thought was, are you guys serious? These two had unrealistic expectations of themselves, of what they could handle, of their place as followers of Jesus. They were totally out of their depth. Even more, the fact that they thought that they could go to Jesus and say, "Just do whatever we want." I'm like, that is bizarre. That is not a relationship. You're here to meet my needs. You're here for my benefit. But maybe sometimes in our relationships we get it wrong, just like these two, and our expectations are just unrealistic. I know a woman whose expectation was, "My four adult children need to live within a street or two of me when they grow up, get married and have children." That was her expectation. I know someone who moved to another city where two of their friends that they'd grown up with were, and their expectation was, "Once I get to that city, we're just all going to hang out all the time and have a great time." And it didn't happen. Here's one. "God told me I'm marrying you." I ran up into an unrealistic expectation when Paul was the principal at Emmaus. As the principal's wife, you will come to the bus when the people get off the bus and you will give out scones. Really? That's exciting. How about this? When I was growing up, my father provided everything I needed, husband, and I expect you to do the same. Do you have unrealistic expectations? Do you have a "I want you to do whatever I ask of you" attitude? Is the gap between your expectations and what you're experiencing one of your own making? Are you setting your relationship up for angst and unrest? Or maybe you're on the receiving end of unrealistic expectations. The person in your life is putting unrealistic demands on you, and you're finding it hard to live under the weight of the unrealistic expectation because, gosh, it can be really heavy. Healthy relationships manage expectations well. If you realize that you're putting unrealistic expectations on someone, or if you're having them put on you, it's about having a crucial conversation, a careful conversation, a loving conversation, a conversation where all the heat and the emotion has been removed, and talking it through. Because communication is the first step to getting through this. Because what we want to get to in our relationships is agreed to expectations. When Paul and I got married, we said these words to each other, "And forsaking all others, keep myself only unto you for as long as we both shall live." That's an agreed to expectation. And look, I know life doesn't work out all the time the way that we want it to. And there's no condemnation in that, but that is an example of an agreed to expectation. Another example is the amount of money we will spend without checking in with each other. Another example is how we will spend our money. Agreed to expectations. Healthy relationships talk through unspoken expectations, unmet expectations, unrealistic expectations, and settle on agreed to expectations. Our daughter, son-in-law, and two grandchildren are coming home from the UK in September. Thank you, Jesus! And they're going to be living with us for some months. But you can bet your bottom dollar that we'll be having conversations about agreed to expectations when we're all living together in one house. Because that's going to be awesome, and it's also going to be wild. Friendships after you get married. Agreed to expectations with your friends and with your partner. Dating. What are the agreed expectations that you have while you're dating someone? How far will you go? Not very far. I'll tell you, that's your agreed to expectation. Parent with adult children, you will come to our house at Christmas, will we? Agreed to expectation. A work contract isn't agreed to expectation, so just turning up to work, you don't get an award, guys. You just that you're doing what you're agreed to do. I know that this stuff is not easy. I'm standing up here saying it, but it's not easy. It really isn't. If you try to talk through expectations and you can't come to an agreement, maybe you need to bring a wise person into the conversation to help you, a trusted person. Because the goal is to get to something that you can agree on. You might not be able to agree on everything, but get to something you can agree on, because healthy relationships manage expectations well. So, expectation today is that there might be people in this room or with us online who don't have a relationship with Jesus. It's been a very practical message today. But to have healthy relationships that manage expectations well, the first start to that is to have a relationship with the God who created you, who wants you to have healthy relationships. And so right now, as we finish up, I want to give you an opportunity, if you have not done that, if you've not asked Jesus to come into your life, I want to give you an opportunity to do that today. Or if you need to get your life right with Jesus, you've been following him but you've walked away. And the way that happens here in this church is we pray a prayer together out loud, and we invite you to pray that prayer with us. And then while everyone closes their eyes, I ask you to raise your hand so that someone on our team can come and meet up with you afterwards. So let's do that. Let's do that right now. Let's all close our eyes. And let's pray together. If you want to ask Jesus to come into your life, or if you want to recommit your life to him, please pray this prayer with us all together. Dear Jesus, thank you for coming to earth and dying for my sin. I ask you to come into my life. I ask you to be my Lord and my Savior. Forgive my sin. Help me to follow you for the rest of my days.
Thanks for listening. We hope to see you in church again this weekend. To find out more about our church, find us online at c3churchwatson.com.au.